at the end of last shiur, two people came over to me. Rabbi Yankiv Kavala gave me a printed sheet. Yeah, I'm saying, but it was after the shiur that I spoke about the tsar of the Shechina, and that's what matters, and that people should do it to alleviate the tsar of the Shechina. So this tzaddik came over to me right after the shiur, and Rabbi Yankiv gave to me a sheet yesterday, and both of them are stories and meiridike examples of exactly what we were talking about. So the one that's in the printed page, I'm going to say over to you. Zakein Muflag, who was called, this was how he was called, Reb David the Masmid. Reb David the Masmid, that was his title. So he was an unbelievable Masmid. He did not waste a single second, and people saw him learning in the most unusual of circumstances, and he only came home altogether just l'kavod Shabbos, Kodesh, and all the days of the week, the weekdays, he would eat and sleep in the Beis Medrash and not be mafsik a single second. He didn't even want to lose the time that it takes to walk from the Beis Medrash to his house. So he stayed in the Beis Medrash yoimim v'layla all week long. And we're talking about a person who pursued this mahalach even into his 80s. So someone once came to him and said, where did you arrive to such a madrega of avas ha-Torah? How come you are such an unbelievable masmid? So he says, when I was young, I learned in Valojin. At that time was the Beis Halevi. And the cheshkas ha-Torah that I have today, believe me, I didn't have it then. At that time, I didn't have a big cheshek. And I used to drei zechahin and drei zechaher, and I would get involved in conversations with people. I would pick myself up from the Gemara quite often, and the Rosh Yeshiva noticed it. So he once came over to me, and he said to me that the Gemara Maseches Brachos Davvav, a Gemara which I mentioned many times, Minayin Shafilu Echad Yoshev Isik Batayr, it says in Pirkei Avos also, that the Shechina is Imai. So it says that the Shechina learns with the person. The Shechina is opposite the person, even if he's learning by himself. So he says, because the pasuk says, "B'chol amokam asher asker shmi, ova yelecha uveirachticha." B'chol asker shmi, Chazal learned that my name is mentioned, meaning Torah. Wherever I hear Torah, ova yelecha, the Shechina comes to the person who's learning Torah. So he says to him, Vim Kane, I'm going to read the Lashon here. B'chol pam shehincha paiseach es ha-gemara. Every time you open up the Gemara to learn, harei bo ha-shechina ha-kadosh shel hashem v'simcha. V'nasis l'cha chavrusa. Now, he is introducing an idea that I don't know necessarily I would have seen in the Gemara. I would have said the Shechina hovers over him. But he says the Shechina becomes your chavrusa. Yeah. Shegam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Paiseach Es HaGemara L'Umascha. Opposite you sits the Shechina, and when you open up the Gemara, your Gemara to learn, the Rebbeinu Shlomo Kiva Yochel opens up his Gemara opposite you. V'kasheh Hincha Soiger Es HaGemara Harei Muchrach Hashem Yizbarach Gam Kein Lizger Es HaGemara Kenegdecha. V'ein L'Shaya Goydel HaTzar Shenigram Bozeh L'Shechina HaKadosha. Says you cannot imagine the tzar of the Shechina. So I just wanted to be moisif that he doesn't necessarily mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits down and learns the Gemara with you, but he's giving you the image, because the point that he's making is just the same. If the Shechina comes v'chol makom asher asker shmi, means when a person is learning, the Shechina shows up. What happens when the person stops learning? The Shechina is not going to stay there the whole day. So it means when the Shechina stops, when the person stops learning, the Shechina departs. That moment of departure causes the Ribbono Shel Olam tremendous tzar. So therefore, when you have that kind of hergish for the tzar HaShechina, you become the masmid of the century. That's what he answered him. The words went into his kishkis, and he realized what he was doing. So the truth of the matter is, I just want to be moist of something. I always felt that our biggest problem is not our Yetzer Hara, per se. it's our, I wouldn't want to use the word pettiness. I'll talk about myself. It's my pettiness. It means that we do not have a holy imagination. We don't have an imagination to Kedusha. Now the Nefesh HaChayim spends a great deal of his Sefer, especially the Shaar on Tefillah, pointing out that every person, every Yid, has cosmic potential. Because what he does has cosmic consequences. Now basically, we don't see with our eyes of flesh those consequences. And we cannot fathom them with our limited intelligence. So we have to rely on Chazal, and we have to rely on our Masayah. But Reb Chaim Volozhin is telling us that you should know that when you say a Lashon Hara, you are damaging the world. Now imagine if a person said a Lashon Hara and knew that chaos was created in the whole community. The community, nowhere else. But in his community, there'll be a chaos that's caused by it. And a lot of people's lives will be ruined. It would be more difficult for a nice person, a generally nice person, to get that Lashon Hara out of his mouth. So what's the pshat? The Teretz says we're not thinking. Even in that limited sense of hashpa, we're not thinking. And once the word is out, it's out. Not being dan l'kafschus. You think it doesn't have unbelievable consequences? I have one of my favorite mishalim is because I'm a rav. Baruch Hashem, I'm zoicha that it's only a mashal in my case. 99% of the time. So it's easy for me to talk because I'm not talking really about my matzav. A rav gives a drasha. He's not necessarily the most endowed and not necessarily the greatest darshan and not necessarily the most famous orator. And people don't necessarily take him so seriously. But he's the rav of that kehillah. And he's talking to his kehillah. In the kehillah, he darshans 15 minutes every single Shabbos. What does he say if it's not Merav Sinigra, if it's not cosmic, if it's not beautiful, but Afo Pikein Elzokta Pesavol Tzinisht. He quotes a Chazal. He explains a Pasuk. Yeah. He says a Milsa B'tayma. Yeah. Oh, but it's not, you know, not the kind of thing that shakes you up, not the kind of thing you remember forever. Fine. Now there's a person that decides that my time is precious, he says to himself, and I have now 15 minutes to learn Mishnah Berurah. Is it such a big avla? So while you're not talking to his chava, chas v'shalom. But while the rav is giving his drasha, he holds open the Mishnah Berurah, and it's crystal clear that he's learning the Mishnah Berurah. So you want to know what my opinion about that is? My opinion about that is that it's an opportunity to be Yairish Gehenim on the spot. And I'll explain to you why. Because you can do what you think is a mitzvah, and turns out to be a super Aveira. Which Aveira am I talking about? A Zilzul in the Rav. Now a Zilzul in the Rav is not just a Zilzul in the Rav. It's a Zilzul in the Koyach Hashpah of the Rav. Because if you think highly of the Rav, then your Chaver thinks highly of the Rav. And it's infectious. And it goes from person to person and it embraces the Kehillah. That's why when a Rav walks in, his responsibility is to try to find Eitzes not to make the Olam stand up. That's a halacha. You're not supposed to be Paisei al Rosh Yom Kodesh. We try to walk in when they're standing anyhow. Or you try to walk in with somebody that anyhow you'd have to stand up for, like a, you know, 100-year-old Zuckin or something like that. But to walk in and to make the people stand up, it's not right. As a state. And no matter who the person is. And the Gedolei Olam avoided it at all costs. Now what about the Kehillah? What about the people who are sitting in their tables? So the Rav walks in, and it happens to be in a moment when there's no choice. So the Rav walks in, 2 people stand up, 10 people don't stand up. So what's the image of that Rav? It goes down the tubes for a second. Now does it matter? Yeah, it matters. Because image is a function, it's a F of X, you know? The image of the Rav is a function of his Hashpah. The Hashpah is Lefi, the image. Asei Geitis. And the reason, and that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, why in Bava were the Chachamim so makbid to wear Choshev of Begodin that identified them as Talmidei Chachamim? And in Eretz Yisrael, not. He says, because in Eretz Yisrael, they respected them for their Torah and you didn't need it. But sometimes you need that chitzonius, which is ma'eris apnemius, and you need the tzura. So part of the tzur of the Rav is created by the Rav himself. Part of the tzur of the Rav is created by the Kehillah. So when a person doesn't get up, or doesn't even make that motion to get up, he thinks, no big deal, so what, I have to get up for the Rav? You know, how many times do I have to get up for the Rav? But the problem is that everybody sees he's not getting up, the Rav's reputation goes down. When you have a chuppah, and there's five rabbanim, chashuva rabbanim sitting there, and the person who's making the chuppah says, Vassal zargein fadrein akot mit the rabbanim, so he gives every one of his first cousins a bracha. And each one is a bigger amma aretz than the other. So that's a tremendous zilzal in Torah, because the people who are there see that there's no kavanah Torah. Now, if for an average person, you know, it's very easy to say the Rav looks for kavod and the Rav is interested in kavod. But Hashem, these things are totally not megaya to me. I'm telling you right now. I have a surfeit of kavod you cannot imagine. I have 100 years worth of kavod in my pocket right now. Aba lemaisa, you should know that a Rav is a fragile thing. My point is that we really don't know that we're doing damage even when we're doing tremendous damage. That fellow who holds the sefer open is saying, the Rav does not have enough to tell me that it's kedai for me to pay attention to him. And since he's standing up there and talking, that is not just a zilzul, it's not just a dagger in the Rav's heart, because you think the Rav doesn't see it. What does it do to his own sense of self? But besides that, the chaver that's sitting next to him is getting a message. The person might as well have written, if it wouldn't be on Shabbos, a note. The Rav talks and dreit akop, but the Mishnah Berurah is where it's at. Now, you tell me, that's a maila or a chesaron? That's a mitzvah or it's an aveira? I think it's a horrible aveira. It's not even yotzei schara behefseido. I don't think there's any schara at all. And if you would have asked the Baal HaMishnah Berurah, who's Nebuch, a helpless victim over here, because he can't tell you anything. He can't tell you a ki who's there right now, the Mishnah Berurah, that what you're doing is wrong. He's Nebuch sitting there, and you are using him to slap the Rav in the face. Would the Chafetz Chaim be maskim to such a thing? With such an unbelievable edelkeit, where the Chafetz Chaim says you can't even say Lashon Hara about yourself? Would he be maskim to such a thing? So you're stealing the Mishnah Berurah from him. Your mom is stealing away the Mishnah Berurah. He says, not now. And you say, well, Dreistakop, I want to learn Mishnah Berurah. It's a zilzul in the Mishnah Berurah. It's a zilzul in the Rav. The man is Yairish Gehenim. I have no doubt about it. I know it's an extreme thing to say, and a lot of people do it. And then I'll tell you something else. Let's leave Kovit out of the way. There's an Indian called davening. So the Sutton and the Yetzirah is two separate Inyonim. The Sutton figures, how am I going to get the people not to daven? So we hardly daven altogether. That's the truth. Again, let me just speak about myself. Lately, it's a little bit better because I am bombarded with people's tzaras. Unbelievable. You reach a certain age, your beard reaches a certain color, or lack of color, and then all of a sudden you're bombarded on ashir, from left and from right, from up and from down. My refa'enu is in its length as long in time as the entire rest of the Shemoneh Esrei put together. Maybe we daven a little bit better lately, but davening is a difficult avodah. It's difficult, again, for those reasons that we're too small and we don't have cosmic insight. We don't have cosmic imagination. But a person is davening. So he's davening. You have to daven Sukkah de Zimra, you have to listen to Kriya Satayra, all of the things, you know, it's part of the package called davening. Tefillah B'tzibur. So, comes a person, and he puts down papers, nice papers, Divrei Torah, Torah in Choshen Mishpat, Torah in Chumash, Torah on Halacha Lemaisa, and he puts it down in front of you. What happens to those Shtiklach Torah? Person doesn't take it home and learns it at his extra time that he has, whatever that is. Could be a whole Shaila Bechlal if he should do these things instead of learning simple Mishnah Berurah if he has a spare minute. But no, he has other things to do then. So when does he look at this? During the davening. So the Psuk of the Zimra, he says the Psuk of the Zimra, Hashem, he's been davening all his life, he knows the Psuk of the Zimra Baal Peh, and meanwhile he's looking at the Tzetel. He's in Birchas Kriya Shema, and you're waiting for the Rav to finish Shema or whatever it is, right to the Tzetel. And then comes Believe me, a person doesn't spend a quarter of a second thinking about Yichud Hashem. But the tzatel, with the maisa, with the this, with the that, oh, a bissel toir, a rein chapma. A rein chapma, a bissel toir. The masvid is essential, like Reb David. He's chapping a rein an extra shtickle toir. In the middle of the Shemona Esri, Chazoras HaShatz, forget about it. And they even Meira Heter, because the Chafetz Chaim in the Mishnah Berurah says that even the Rav should not look at a Sefer, but he doesn't say because he should listen to Chazoras HaShatz, if you're the Rav or anybody else. He says because the Rav will set a bad example, and before you know it, other people will be Isaac and Varim B'Talim. So you get the Heter from this Mishnah Berurah, but so I'm not Isaac and Varim B'Talim, I'm sitting and learning. So you open up the Sefer. Chazoras HaShatz is an opportunity to daven again. And when you answer Amen, you could be by Kerukiyim. The person answers Amen perfunctorily because in the background he is Rachat Hashem. But meanwhile he's sitting and learning right to the Mishnah Berurah or the Tzettel or the paper or the Gemara or the Daf Yomi. You know what's happening? What's happening is a total disintegration of the Inyan of Tefillah. The Avoda requires concentration. Machshava is a very big inyan in Karbonos, and Machshava's psul is a very, very, very serious thing. And the Machshava inyan in the Avoida that's doimet to Karbonos, Avoida Shebelev, Tfila Keneged Karbonos Tiknum, is also very much an inyan. And therefore, the Machshava has to be about Tfila, not about anything else. And if a person commits himself to that kind of avoda, believe me, your tefillah will be enhanced 50 times over in one day. And that's what the Sutton doesn't want. He wants you to learn when you're supposed to daven when you're supposed to learn, to live a life that's one big mishmash, one big chont, and then he has you. Because there's nothing with a seder, nothing with a mahalach, and mele the concentration goes totally down the drain. Because you're always hearing the echo of something else. You're always busy trying to achieve something when you're supposed to be doing this. And that's a tremendous thing. But it would all fall by the wayside if we had a sense of the cosmic impact of our tefillah. It would all fall by the wayside if we understood that the Shekhinah comes to a person who's learning Torah. And if he's mevatel with his chavrusa, or if he closes the Gemara to play around, then the Shekhinah is leaving him. Is leaving it. What does it mean that the Shekhinah is leaving me? But much more important than all of that, I mean, to have this maisa, to have a hergish that the Shekhinah's tsar is greater than my tsar that I had to clean up the garbage from the floor, and that the Nazis are mezalzel in an erlich hayid and a mezalzel in a Torah. Baruch Shalom, kalani miroshi, kalani mizroi, oily shechrafti as basi. So you have a chance to be mesameach the Shekhinah. Long again, pants. It's like an unbelievable thing. So a maisa here, a maisa there, it's all the same point. If we would have that cosmic imagination, we would be able to do things that you can't even begin to believe you are capable of. And we would avoid assiduously the whole range of petty averis that are the day-to-day litany, the day-to-day fare of our table. Because it's the pettiness that gets to us. It's the smallness that gets to us. If a person, and it's a funny thing, has nothing to do with Gaiva. You know why? Because when you reach that level of imagination, the Gaiva goes out the window. It's such an interesting thing. You know, sometimes when we think we inflate ourselves, you're bigger, you're powerful, you're capable. Well, what about the Gaiva that comes with it? Here it's the other way around. Because when you're involving yourself with the cosmic, you know, elements of the universe, you suddenly discover how small you really are, the etzem. So it's like coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and therefore running away. It's the Baruch Ato and finally saying Shakoni Abidvaro all over again. It has to be like that. It's actually a makar for Anivus. Moshe was the closest to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He was taka cosmic in that way all the time. And Moshe Onov Mikol Adam Ashal Pnei Adama. Because he wasn't an Adam Shal Pnei Adama, really. He was Chetzi Isha Lekim. And that was the Nakuda. If you're in the presence of the Shekhinah, you are nothing. The Nachnu Ma. So that's what I wanted to share with you. Now let's go weiter. There's a pasuk here, which I also found, I was thinking about this pasuk a lot, and the Goyin's interpretation of the pasuk. Pasuk Dalet. Mi pesi yosur heina, chasar leiv omer oloi. So the Gaon, as usual, notices that there are two separate segments to this pasuk. One of them is about a person called a pesi, and the other one about a person called a chasar lev. And concerning the Pesi, it says, Yosser Heino, let him come hither. Let him join us. It's an invitation, but it isn't a didactic moment. It isn't, you're not teaching him anything, because he can learn on his own. We'll soon see what the Gon says means by this. But the Chasar Lev, it's not enough to open the door, because he's not going to know how to come in. So you have to actually teach him how to come in. You have to give him the Torah. Look at the Gra. Mi Pesi Yosser Heino Chasar Lev Amar Loi. Kloimar. Ha Pesi Shehu Mispata Machma Sheroitza Leilich B'Toiv. Yosser Heino V'Yira Toivas HaTorah Sheshulchono Godol Mishulchonam. Aval Chasar Lev Einoi Moyo Loi Mashe Yire Hanoas Hatoira. Lochain va Amroloi Shetzorich Loimarloi Ularachech Liboi Bidvarin. So the Vilna Gaon says an amazing thing. We usually think of the word Pesi as a negative. Pesi. Shoim Epsoim Hashem. What is a Pesi? Somebody who's a simpleton, somebody who doesn't understand things, who doesn't have clarity, who's naive. That's a Pesi. So he says, "Mi pesi yosser heina, ha pesi shehu nispata." The word pesi is not with a samach; it's with a tuf. Where does it come from? Pitui. What's pitui? Pitui ktana oinasu. What's pitui? Oinas umefata.
Seduction.
Exactly. In other words, when you fadre somebody a cup, and you're able to get to him because of that innocence, of that simplicity, he doesn't have the Kalim to withstand the seduction. But whose seduction are we talking about over here? The Koyach HaTorah. So he says that a person can sometimes be naive, that the Yetzer Hara did not manage to jade him, to make him savvy. You understand what I'm talking about? It doesn't. That person has not yet been ruined by the world around him. So he's able to see and to be attracted to the Reyach HaTorah. Imagine a person that still has his taste buds and he has a good sense of smell. Certain medications destroy your sense of smell. Certain sicknesses destroy a person's sense of smell. He can walk by the most aromatic chef's creation. You know, somebody made something and the Reyach makes a person the sugar, but he doesn't smell, he doesn't feel, he doesn't know. So he walks right by. The Pesi still has his taste buds. He can still smell the aroma of Torah. So all you have to do, so to speak, is open up the door and let the Torah waft up in the air, and he's already charmed, and he comes. There's nothing, you can't stop him. Look at the Lashon of the Gra in three words. HaPesi shehu nispata, he's seduced, machmat sheroitza leilich b'toiv. It's a pilei ploy, I'd like to meet such a person. A person who is, he has such a yearning that it doesn't take much. All you have to do is open the door and he's there already. You have cases like that. You have certain people who became Baalei Tshuva and their yearning to become Talmidei Chachamim is mind-boggling. Their yearning to become Erlich HaYidin is mind-boggling. And all you have to do is open the door. But then there's a person who's Chasar Leiv. He's the person that's already jaded. He's the person that knows it all. He's the person that's savvy. And he says, Torah nishta ze gefelach. So what are you going to do with a person like that? So the Goyim says you have to soften him up. You have to make him a shtickle into a pesi. And that's a tremendous avodah. But you can't say, Yosser Heino, I'm opening up the door and he'll come in, because he's not coming. So what do you have to do? You have to reach out and drag him and schlep him in. And that's the Goyim's lashon that he says over here. Lachain va'amroloi, because einoi mayoloi mashiyira hanoas hatayra. Lachain amroloi, because he lost his taste buds. That's the reason. And so you have a tremendous thing. You have two people sitting next to each other in a base medrash, and one person is singing on the top of his lungs. And you ask him, "Why are you singing?" He says, "Are you kidding? The Torah is so geschmack, it's unbelievable." And the other person is sitting there, and you ask him, "Why are you sitting there? So glum?" He says, "Listen, my wife said I have to go to the base medrash and learn." So I came to the Beis Medrash to learn. Are you learning? Yeah, I'm learning. I'm yeah, learning, not learning. I said, what's your problem? He said, I'm bored out of my wits. Two people. Now I look down. I'm just a marshal, but I'm saying, I look down, and guess what? They're both learning Baba Kama. What that? Daf Gimel. So what happened over here? They're not chavrusas. This one's sitting and this one's sitting. But this one is sitting and singing, and the other one's sitting there, like, you give him any chance. He's waiting for his wife to call, say, Sishin Genug. This is unbelievable. The same blood Gemara. How could it be? You know, usually, if it's an interesting novel, it's an interesting novel. If it's a boring novel, it's a boring novel. But how could the same novel be so interesting to one person and so boring to the other? Lavda. The teretz is, one is a pesi and one is a chasadif. And it's a tragedy. Because the Torah be'etzem is so infinitely geschmack that Yimamish, the truth of the matter is, it does, you know, you speak about imagination. When nobody's around and somebody really loves the Torah, in the book that I just read, there's a biography of the Rosh Yeshiva, Zichron Levracha, of the Mir Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, of Nosson Zvi Finkel. It's written by Reb Chanoich Teller, who was a Talmud of his for many, many years. A Talmud of the Mir Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. So he says that one of the things that inspired Reb Nosson Zvi Finkel was that he saw that his great uncle, cousin, whatever it is, the Rosh Yeshiva before him, was when nobody was looking, so he went over to every single Sefer, every single Gemara in the Shas, and he gave it a kiss. He says, that kind of intimate Avas HaTorah, that he's kissing the Gemara that he was learning, not while he's learning. He went over to the Sfarim Shank. Ah! Baba Metzia, Echabdel Azeili. Baba Basra, Echabdel Azeili. So that made a tremendous rush in mind. That's what he writes in the Sefer. That kind of heritage, anybody that has any feeling for Torah has to have in his heart. And you take the Gemara almost like it was alive, because it really is more alive than many people, and you give it such a hug and such an embrace and such a tremendous ava, exudes from the person who appreciates the beauty, the exultant beauty, the unbelievable beauty of Torah. The shame the Torah is, the geschmack the Torah is. You know, when they were singing Olam Habazah, Gutazach, Lernen Torah, Besazach, they weren't talking about Lernen Torah, Besazach. You get more schar, which you do. It's an opportunity to get schar, which you have, because it's the word of Hashem. It's so geschmack. The truth of the matter is, the reason it's why it's mani bechinam, you expect to get paid for something that delicious? Never. Get paid for it? Why should you get paid for it? Every moment is the biggest delight. I should pay you besides? So Torah has to be bechinam. That is the ideal. But it's not an ideal that's in the abstract somewhere. It's mamish in front of you. But what happens to the chasar lev? I'm bored out of my wits. Get me out of here as fast as you can. How could that be? The teretz is, it does not have any longer the kalim inside of him to taste the mesikus haTorah. And that's what he's talking about. Einoi mayil loy, it will not help him, masheyire hanoas haTorah. He sees people have such a geschmack, it means nothing to him. Because he doesn't have the taste buds. Lochem v'amra loy, the Torah itself has to soften his heart. So pelet de gazat, so how does the Torah do it exactly? See, she says, "L'chu lachamu belachami u'shesu b'yein masachti," and so on. I just wanted to go into the gra on this pasuk. You have it, pasuk hey?
Yes.
Yeah. So this gra, normally, I'll tell you the truth, I wouldn't really go into it, because also it's the gematrias and the numbers, but there's something very beautiful here, I have to tell you. It's just unbelievably beautiful. So let me read to you the groin. L'chu lachamu belachmi. So the Torah is compared to two things here. Lechem, partake in my bread, lachamu belachami, and it's compared to wine. U'shesu b'yein masachti. Zok the groin. Lachamu belachmi hu Torah shebichsav shehu lechem. The Goyin has already said in Peyuk Dalit, Pasuk Dalit, and a number of other places that Torah Shebichsav is compared to Lechem. Now he writes, K'moy Shehalechem hu mitukon kol tzorchoy ve'ein choser el alechoyl kach ha-Torah kvar mitukenes kol tzorchoy. The truth be that there's a Gemara that sounds different, because the Gemara says Lachmu Balachmi refers to the Gemara, to the Talmud, and the Maharsha says in that Gemara, which is the Gemara Chagiga Daf Yedalit Amud Aleph, the Maharsha says that Lemaisa, it's called Mishan Lechem because the Torah is the Iker Mazain Haguf. Like Lechem is the Iker Mazain Haguf, the Torah is Iker Mazain HaNefesh. So Lechem is the staple. So what's the staple? In the Gemara, Chagiga, it says it's the Gemara. But the Gaon is learning the contrast of the two halves of this psukim. And in the context of this pasuk, Lechem is Torah Shebichsav. That's important to realize that. In other words, if you're looking in the general picture without a contrast, then Lechem is the most important staple. So Lemaisa, that's Gemara. But if you're looking in the contrast of this pasuk, then Lechem becomes Torah Shebichsav, and what is Torah Shebalpeh? Yayin. So if the, why? Because Lechem is mitukenes kol tzarcha, v'shesu b'yayin masachti, hu Torah Shebalpeh, mipnei she'me'urav bakol. Because it requires mizug. It requires admixture with water. So he says, Yain masachti like mascha yaina. The yain masachti, hainu shekvar arachti lifneichem hakol. He says, vihine. This is where the gematrias come in and the kabbalah. Hatoyra shebichsav v'toyra shebalpeh nischabru. They are, nischabru sometimes means a composed. Here it means bonded, united. Chibur. Nischabru biyud gimu midoy shatoyra nidreshes bohen besoid echod. What is the gematria of Aleph, Ches, and Dalet?
13.
8 and 4 is 12, and the Aleph in front is 13. Vehem klulin mishnehem, and the combination of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh is 13 and 13, which is 26. Besoid chof of drochim hayiduim beis pa'amim yud gimel. Hashem echad ushmoy echad. Echad is mentioned in that pasuk twice. By Yom Ahu, Yiyah Hashem echad ushmoy echad. We say, by the way, just to be moisif on what he's saying, sheyibone beis hamigdosh b'meheira v'yomeinu, right? The same chalkeinu b'sarasecho b'sham na'avodcho b'yiro kimei oylam u'shonim kadmoinias. The ultimate Bayoim Ahu is going to lead, sheyibone beis hamigdosh is Bayoim Ahu. The Bayoim Ahu will lead to the same chalkeinu b'sarasecho. Because only then will the person have the combination that he needs of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh, of Hashem Echad, Ushmoy Echad. So he says, and that's Ponim Ve'ochor, the Yudin Uda Alfin, Beis Mazolos. So what is he talking about over here? So in the Sefer Or Torah of Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, you may have heard or may not have heard of him, but he wrote quite a number of Sifrei Kabbalah, and he was a Goyin in general. The Rabbi Yitzchak Ochanan said about him that he was the greatest Mekubal in his generation. You're talking about a Talmud of a Talmud of the Gra. But he was responsible of expounding upon and presenting to the world the Kabbalah aspects of the words of the Gra. And so he's really very famous. He writes like this. So in the Or Torah in Ois Tzadik Zayin, he writes as follows. Ki yadua sheyoyim v'layla heim dukhra v'nukva, zohar and the keva. V'chiburam hu al yedei ha-toyra. V'tzarech lichlo midas yoyim v'layla hu midas layla b'yoyim. K'mo she'nemar, v'hi erev, v'hi voiker, yoyim echad. So the unity is when erev and voiker come together, dukhra and nukva are mischaber, and they are mischaber al yedei ha-toyra. V'hu b'chinas toyra shebichsav, im Torah Shebalpeh, Al yedei yud gimel midos shatayra nidreshes b'hem v'hu inyan ha'yichud k'may shekosav ha'goin. He means the Gra b'pirushoy latikunin. He's not quoting the Gra here. He's quoting the Goin in his pirush on the Tikunei Zohar. Shehei Tevois. Now, there's something so beautiful here in the presentation. That's why I want. We don't learn Kabbalah in this shir. It's not for us. But there's something so beautiful here in the. I just had to share it with you. He says as follows. This is what the Gra says. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Correct? Right. What are the first five words? Shema Yisrael. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Right?
Right.
So he says the first five Tevois are until where? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem. So the total number of words in this pasuk are six. But the first five are until Echad. Right?
Right. So the five. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu.
Hashem.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
So if you stop before the Echad, you have five. So he says those five are keneged chamisha chum shei Torah. Now, Baruch Shem Kod Malchuso has how many words? Also six. Baruch Shem, sheish knafayim le'echad. Baruch Shem, kvoid Malchuso lo'ilam vo'ed. In fact, each one of the wings of the Malachim represents one of those. That's the Goyen's famous words that I think I once mentioned to you. That we say, Gali kvoid Malchuscha aleinu mehera, v'hoifa v'inose. That you should reveal Kvoid Malchuscha. What does it mean? Because it says in one place that there are six knafayim. In another place it says four knafayim. One is Bisman Sha'isim Mitzani Shalmokim, Bisman Sha'inoisim Mitzani Shalmokim. So when there's Meisvesim Mitzishkayim and the Shechinah Shari B'Yisrael, there are six knafayim. The two knafayim that are closed, the wings that are clipped, as it were, are represented by the words in the Baruch Shem, the two middle ones, and that's Kvoid Malchusei. So we say Gali Kvoid Malchusei, let the four wings become six wings, and the wings of Kvoid Malchusei should expand, and all the wings them should be a total of six. Gali Kvoid Malchusei Mehera V'hoi Favi Naselein. So anyhow, there are six tables in Baruch Shem Kvoid Malchusei Lo'olam Vo'ed. So think about it for a minute. What does that represent? The Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. So the Torah Shebichsav is five. The Shisha Sidrei Mishnah is six. What's the word in between the two? Echad. That's the chibur of the Yud Gimel. Which Yud Gimel? The Yud Gimel Midoy Shah Torah Nidreshes Bohem. The Yud Gimel Midoy takes the Torah Shebichsav into the Torah Shebaalpeh. So that's what he says. The Vav Teva Shebaruch Shem Kvod Machusel Envoed Heim Vav Sedarim Shel Torah Shebal Peh Sroim Moed Noshin Nezikim Kachim Taris V'chiburam Al Yudei Teva Sechod Sheheim Yud Gimu Mide Shah Torah Nidreshes Bohem Mi Torah Shebichsav Li Torah Shebal Peh V'teva Sechod Nichlal Kuloi Benukva V'lochein Ascholas Torah Skoinim Hebraisa De Reb Yishmael V'yud Gimu Mide Shah Torah Nidreshes Bohem. Behem Yud Gimel Brisayis Shenisgru BeParshas Mila Shekol Echad Koylol Kol Taryag Mitzvays Shehu Bris V'Soyda Inyon Yoyim V'Laylo Heim Oisiyis Mila Levi, and Levi is to Mechav Urecha. Anyhow, I just wanted to share with you that one part, that the Torah Shabbosav is the first five words, Torah Shabbapeh is the next six words of Baruch Shem, and in the middle is Echad. That's what the Goyin is saying over here. By the way, Reb Yitzchak Isaac Chover, he has another sefer called Neir Mitzvah. You may know this, but he says on the pasuk of Asalem Tzitzis, what's the mitzvah of Tzitzis? So he had a kasha that on the whole concept, which we call Nama de Kisufa, that the Zohar says that Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelik Loilam Abba. So what are we working so hard for? We'll get our chelik anyhow. The chelik that you get for free. So the Chafetz Chaim had a beautiful mashal. He says that in Russia, there was a tremendous amount of protection in his time. It's probably true even today. But there was tremendous protection. So if you were well-connected, you were also well-healed. So they used to have these factories or whatever, and the workers would have all kinds of gnarled hands and fingers and all kinds of blisters on them that were simonim of their very heavy work that they were forced to do. And then there was an inspector general who used to come from factory to factory to see if they were doing a good job. So the inspector general comes to a certain factory and he asks everybody, stick out your hands, because right away you can see. So there's one person whose hands are finally manicured and they are silk itself. So he asks him, what do you do? He says, I'm the nephew. So the Chafetz Chaim says, person doesn't want to come up to the Ribbono Shel Olam and he says, show me your hands. And he says, I'm the nephew. That's called Nahama de Kisufa, the bread of embarrassment. So Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chava says that the Zohar also says, Chazal tell us that the koiches of a person and everything that he's going to achieve is already planted in his neshama at the outset. That's the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's planted in his neshama only to come out. So the question is, if that's the case, then whatever he does, he's almost programmed to do. It's like our genetic predisposition on a spiritual level. So then if that's the case, everything is Nahama de Kisufa. I'm just being who I am. So the Goyin says, this Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chava, he says as follows. He says, Ein hachanami, you have the predisposition. But in the world of Asiya, it requires a Bechira to make that min hakoyach el hapoyel. And that's why it's not Nahama de Kisufa. So he says that tzitzis represent the tariyak mitzvahs only after you wind them around and you tie them and so on and so forth. So that's the image. Even if it's already there, but it's only shayach when the beged has the tzitzis on them because you put them there and you tied them that way. So this is a vart that he says. I wanted just to share it with you.